Morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you all this Sunday morning. I was out of town last weekend visiting some family friends for the holiday. And it's always good to keep in touch with people that God brings into your life to encourage, to uplift, and to challenge one another to continue the race, to continue to place everything, our whole lives, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything at his feet, no matter what we may be going through. And that's how I feel about our church. I feel that when we meet together for our fellowship times, as we meet together on these Sundays to worship God, that we are here to encourage one another in the Lord, in his word, in his truth, and that he will build us up with his Holy Spirit. He will build us up because he is a God that we can trust in, the only God, the one true God, our God. And so as we are gathered to worship him together, I want us to know that he is working. He's working in your life. Whether you feel it or not, he's with you, working in your heart, working in your circumstances, working in your families, in your friendships, in every area of your life, that God is indeed working. And we're going to see that over the next few weeks as we talk about just how God is working as we look at passages in the book of Acts. So let's look at Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15 together. This is the word of God. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that withstands the test of time, because it is your word from Genesis to Revelation, your gift to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit without error, so that we can trust in the authority of your word, that in all the things that we experience in our lives, that we can test it according to Scripture, because we know that it is from you. God, I pray that as we look at this passage together today, that we would have a strong sense and feeling and belief that indeed you are working in our midst, that you are working in us. We thank you that that is true, and we pray that you would do that here today as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are three ways in this passage that we can see God is indeed working, and this is part one. There's going to be three parts of this sermon series called God is Working, and he is the one who is always in control, and he is the one who is always proactively at work. He's proactively calling those who are lost to himself, saving them by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and then empowering those people who have now come to know him to continue to reach those who are remaining that do not yet have a relationship or salvation in Christ. And so there's three things in this passage that we see. First is this, that God sends us. Secondly, that God sends people to us. And lastly, that God saves us. So we're going to start with that first look at how God is working, is that God sends us. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 12 that talks about the logistics of the journey that Paul and his missionary companions are going upon now. It says, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days. Now, if you remember the point at which we have arrived in this place, the Holy Spirit had forbidden Paul and Silas from going to Asia, from going to Bithynia. And so Paul saw a vision, and in that vision, there was a man calling out for help from Macedonia. And so through discernment, prayer, they followed God's call. And so God sent them to Macedonia. That's what they discerned. That's what they believed God was doing. And so they set off to go where God was calling them. God was sending them. Now, these verses in this passage, they don't seem very eventful, but I think it shows something that we often take for granted. We take for granted at times how God blesses and cares for even the simple things in life, such as travels. We may pray for it. We ask God for travel mercies. We ask God to keep us safe as we journey on to our different destinations. But how often do we take for granted how God is the one who is still working? He's the one who has us in his hands. And so God is in control. And as they set sail to where he is sending them, there are no hiccups in their journey here. Sailing was not always easy, but God had his hand over even the logistics of their journey. And so they sail from Troas to the small island of Samothrace. They stay there for a night, and then they set sail to Neapolis, which is a port city in Philippi, leading to Philippi, which is about 10-mile travel north of Neapolis. And this is a chief city of Macedonia, so it's a place where culture is kind of growing and where people come to kind of be in the know of what's happening in the world around them. And so what I want to say right now is that God is working, and when God sends us somewhere, he will make sure that we reach and arrive at that destination. I want for us to see, even in a couple verses like this, that God's hand is over it. We learn to see that God is truly in control of all things. There's not one area of your life that he does not touch. There's not one area of your life that he is not working in. Don't take anything for granted. You traveled here to church today. God sent you here. Why? So that you can hear the word of God being preached. So that you can know his love for you, his truth, the truth in your life. He loves you. He cares for you. God sends us to our families, to our friends. Why? Because it is when we are sent that we can share the love of God that we have in our hearts, that we can share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he has graciously given to us. God sends us to our workplaces and to our schools. Why? There's always a purpose in all that God does. He is working in your life. So don't take even the sending for granted. Go to those places with a heart that is ready to share the word of God. God is working in you, and he's going to work through you. God is working. Amen. I hope we believe that. I hope we have a sense of that. We're conscious of that on a daily basis, that God is working in us and through us. And so God sends us. And we're going to see that in the next point, that, you know, God truly sends us, but he also sends people to us. So that there's a meeting of people, there's relationships coming together, being established. Why? Again, for God's glory, his plan, his purposes. And we'll see this reality for the people that Paul and his companions speak to here in Philippi. So in the second point, God sends people to us. Verses 13 to 14. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. When you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, there are no people that you meet or no one that you interact with where there isn't purpose. In Christ, every relationship, every interaction, whether in real life, in social media, Strangers you come across, people who are in your family, your friends, every single relationship and every single interaction has purpose in Christ. You hear that? Because we understand and believe that God is working in us and through us, every single interaction that we have, even in the mundaneness of life, in the difficult times, in the times that are easy, every interaction, every relationship has purpose in Christ. And that goes for believers. We have a calling that God gives to us, but also for those of you who are here who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, I ask you, what made you come out to church? Most often, it will be because of a relationship. Someone who loves Jesus that shared that love on you, invited you to come to learn about this God who we serve, who we say is working and wants to work in their hearts. So as you're here, God sends people. Isn't that an awesome thing? God is a God of relationships, and not one relationship should we take for granted. There's purpose in every single one, even the difficult ones. Even the tough ones that you're like, hey, you can have this one back, God. There's purpose, and he's working in you through these relationships because he sends people to us for a purpose, for a reason. Now, we see Paul here. It's an interesting thing that we see happen because we know that Paul, he had a strategy when he did go to the Gentile nations. There was at least a group of Jewish people there where they could find a synagogue, whether big or small, but place where men went to worship, families went to worship, where he would go to the synagogue and then teach about Jesus and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here in Philippi, there is no synagogue here. So on the Sabbath, when Paul would normally go and preach and teach at a synagogue, there is no place of worship, and instead, where he goes to is he finds a place where there was a supposed place of gathering for prayer. And in that place was not a man calling for help as he had seen in his vision, but a group of women who were there gathered together to pray that God had sent in this meeting. So God brings Paul and his missionary companions. And God sends them here, where they are now in Philippi. And God sends this group of women to Paul and his companions to hear the word of God being preached. Now, in historical context, we need to remember that Rome was, for the most part, tolerant of religion. They would conquer different areas, and they would say, okay, you can continue to worship your gods as long as you also worship Caesar, pay tribute to Caesar. But there was something in this place in particular where for the Jewish people, or for those who wanted to worship the God of the Jews, that wasn't available here because look what happens. Where are they? Where are they when they meet? They're outside of the city gates, by the riverside. They're not given a place within the town limits, and instead they have to go somewhere else, maybe perhaps a bit outcast, to worship the one true God. But you see, God made this interaction happen. He made this meeting to occur, Paul and his fellow missionaries, to make himself known to the women who were there to pray on that Sabbath morning. They would do more than just praying to the one true God. They would see and hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the completion of all that the Old Testament scriptures pointed forward to, the Messiah that was to come, the Messiah that was to save the people, and that that's person being Jesus Christ. And so God is working. He sent Lydia and this group of women to the place where they had regular time of prayer on the Sabbath. And as Paul sat down and taught about the scripture, how it points to Jesus Christ, how Jesus fulfilled it with his perfect life of obedience to God the Father, his death upon the cross for our sake, and then his resurrection, God was working. So again, Paul was faithful to God and shared his love and the gospel of Jesus, but also Lydia and those women who had gone there to pray are now hearing this being preached, and we'll see what happens when they receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Point number three is this, that God saves us. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. No one else saves us. It is God alone who saves us. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. So one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So Lydia is the character or the person that is kind of honed in on. She's described as a worshiper of God. So we remember this back with Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, that a worshiper of God, that was a title given to those who were Gentiles, but they had come to faith in the God of Israel. But they hadn't completely converted to Judaism. So she was a God-fearer, a worshiper of God. And so in this situation, she is not yet one who has faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because why? She hasn't heard the gospel message. And that's why Paul is here to say God wants you to know the fullness of his love and his grace. He wants to save you. And so he begins to speak. Paul begins to teach. And he likely helped bridge the gap of how it all connects, the Old Testament scriptures, the ones that she and the group of women must have been familiar with as God worshipers, bridging the gap to see how the cross, Jesus Christ and his life, death, and resurrection fulfilled all the prophecies of old, and that he was the ultimate sacrifice, giving himself upon the cross, offering forgiveness and salvation for those who would believe in him. So God is working. And there's an interesting detail that I just found so, it was a blessing unto me. But Lydia was a seller of purple goods, right? Which means ultimately that she probably had some wealth. And why I say that is that, well, she was from Thyatira, which was a well-known place for expensive purple dyes and to be used with materials that oftentimes royalty would use or people of high status and position. And this dye was not easy to come by. But let's get back to the place that she's from, Thyatira. Guess where that is? That hometown. It's a city in the province of Asia. Now, remember earlier on that the Holy Spirit had forbidden Paul and Silas and his group from preaching the word to Asia. But here we see that God has brought, in a sense, Asia to Paul, where he was at. See what I'm saying? I don't know if that like connects with you guys, but when I read that, I was like, that is so cool. And we know that Paul will go on to preach the message of the gospel in Asia. But what a cool thing to see here, again, that God sends people to us. And especially here in the United States of America, where we have people coming from all over the world to study here, to be here, to work here, to raise their families here. What an awesome reminder that the world is literally coming to us as well. And that we have an awesome privilege to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who may not have heard it if they were to be in their home countries. So God is working. God is working to save Lydia and this group of women who are gathered together. They had no idea. They thought it was going to be another Sabbath where they would gather together and pray. But they're hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see something happening that shows how God is working. Verse 14, towards the end of it, it says, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, this is absolutely essential to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to his grace, that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Not by works, so anyone can boast. So it is God himself who is working, who opens up Lydia's heart to pay attention to what is said by Paul. It doesn't say Paul was on that day and he was preaching with fire. And because he was doing so well, Lydia couldn't help but listen and believe. It doesn't say that. It says the Lord opened up her heart. It doesn't say Lydia had studied the scripture so well that everything just clicked and she knew that she had found the Messiah, that she had made that connection by herself with her, you know, ingenuity or her intuition or studies. It says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, yes, we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. But apart from God opening up our hearts, there's no way that we can choose him. Apart from God in his grace opening up our hearts to pay attention to the gospel, we cannot be saved. Every Sunday that I preach, every opportunity that I have to preach, that's my prayer for those who are listening to the word being preached. I pray for humility, that I would preach responsibly and effectively, communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ through the word. But I pray that God would open up hearts to listen. God would open up hearts to hear and take in the gospel message. Because I could prepare for 1,000 hours and give the greatest sermon ever in the history of the world. But if God does not open up your heart, if you in your heart are still hardened against him, you won't receive the message. Think of all the people who sat on that hill when Jesus fed more than 5,000 with a miracle of bread and fish. And yet there were people who left without placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Why is that? God opens up hearts to pay attention. He is gracious. He is working. And so he brought Paul to them, and he brought them to Paul. And now in this interaction that they have, he makes a way into her heart. And she believes in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. And how do we know that? Because she chooses to be baptized. She's accepted the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The fullness of who Jesus Christ is, that he fulfills the law and the prophets, and now she is saved. God saves. He is working. Now, we don't know much about Lydia, of all the things that happened in her life up to that point. But we know that at that point, when she heard the message of the gospel of Jesus, she believed. She repented and believed in him. And how about you? Do you believe that God is working in your life? Maybe you're at a place where you don't really believe in Jesus yet. You like the idea of believing in Jesus. You see people sharing his love and it's a good thing. You see people being kind and it's a great thing. But maybe relationship with Jesus, you don't know what that means yet. It doesn't really mean that much to you. Or maybe you have kids and you say, well, I want my kids to grow up and be good kids, good people. And so the Bible seems like it has very good things that it teaches, so I'm going to bring them to church. But God wants our hearts. He wants us to truly know who he is. And he is working. He's working. Do you believe that? You know, I had just the awesome privilege of being part of a baptism service for a grandfather of one of our church members a couple weeks back. And a whole service was in Chinese or in dialects of Toisan, and so I couldn't understand it really at all. But I felt God's presence, the Holy Spirit working in that room. I could see and feel him working and in my heart reminding me of his goodness. I prayed in gratitude to God for the salvation of this elderly man. Of course, we would have loved for him to accept God and be saved earlier on in life. But again, this is a testament to God working in his timing. And he is the one who opens up a heart to believe. And so this man was saved by God's grace. And we got to witness it. This man being baptized. And it was awesome. And later he shared from his life. He shared something that I guess many of the people who were there also did not know, but he shared about a memory that when he was much younger and back in China, he remembered that his mother had gotten baptized and that he remembered how joyful she was. And he shared that in his age, as he is sick with illness, that the consistent care and reaching out from our church really spoke to him about God's love. When myself or Pastor Charles and other members of the church would visit him when he was in the hospital, that though he did not yet believe, he could feel that there was something different about this love that was shown. That there was a connection to Jesus who we wanted him to know so desperately so that his eternity could be changed, that God would save his soul, that he would have eternal life forever by his grace. And so at his age, it wasn't because of his obedience or his good works throughout his life. It wasn't by his own strength or intellect, but by God's grace through opening up this man's heart in the later years of his life, that now he is one with the brothers and sisters in Christ. God is working. Don't lose hope. Be a part of the work. Pray for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Reach out to them in love, with God's love and the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever you can. God is so good. God is working. Amen. He is working in you. He's working in those we love. Pray. Be a part of it. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share his love. God is working. He sends us. Trust that he will take you where he's sending you and that he'll be with you as you go. God is working. God sends people to us, even the ones that you're like, God, I want to send them back. Love on them. Pray for them. Share God's love, his grace. Even the ones that don't deserve your love, love on them with God's love that says, while you were a sinner, I died for you. While there was zero lovableness in you, I died for you with my love. God sends us people. God is working through you and in their lives too. Think about that. That you have an opportunity to work, be a part of God's work in someone else's life by engaging in relationships, sharing the love of God with them. So think of your family that does not know Jesus. Think of your friends who do not know the Lord. Think of those on your sports teams and in your schools that don't know Jesus. Think of the strangers that you walk by that don't know Jesus, but trust that God is working and he wants you to be a part of his work. God sends people to us. Show them Jesus. God saves. It's his work, but we get to be a part of it. Will you be a part of it? Will you trust that God is working? Maybe something to think about this upcoming week. Be more aware of the people that God is sending to you. Open your eyes. Ask God for the spiritual eyes to see those who God may be sending to you, because he wants you to be a part of his work so that they know the love of Jesus Christ. So think about that as you go to school, as you go to work, maybe a work meeting, virtually even. But who are the people that God is sending your way? Pray for them. Engage them in relationship. There is purpose in every single one. And trust that he will work and that he is working. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to respond in prayer. I want us to be a church that doesn't just hear the word of God and go about Monday through Saturday the exact same way every week. And God will not let us be that way. Why? Because he's working in us. So first, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, God is working right now in your midst so that you can hear the word of God, that he is calling you to himself. So So ask him to open your heart that you would believe and be saved by the only one who can save through Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer and you're here, have you been trusting that God is working? No matter what you may be going through, what circumstances you might find yourself in, the relationships broken, the relationships healed, the relationships, all the different things that you have in your life, do you trust and have you been trusting that God is working? Put your hope in Him. He wants to use you as a part of His work. Look for opportunities. Ask Him for opportunities. Ask Him for eyes to see those opportunities. And go and shine His light. Go and show His love and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just take one more moment to pray, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for that. There is no relationship that has no purpose in You. Every relationship has purpose in Christ Jesus, and we thank You for that. God, I pray that You would fill our hearts with hope and Your empowerment through the Holy Spirit to go where You send us. To go not just on our own, but equipped with the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that God, when You send people to us, that we would show them the love of Jesus Christ through our lives, through our actions, through our deeds, through our words, in every way that You would be glorified in how we live, and that the people that You send to us would sense that there is something different. And that God, You would open up those hearts to see Your love, and that they too would become believers of Jesus Christ. God, we thank You that You are working, that You do not just leave us, but You're always with us, always with a purpose for our lives, in every relationship, in every instance. And we thank You, God, that that is who You are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.